Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
Hurry up. Yeah. Welcome to Slamfire Radio, episode 593, recording live on February 19th. 2025. I am one of your hosts, Dustin.
I am Cowtown Tony.
I'm Adriel.
I'm Kyle.
Hello, I'm Kelly. I don't have the show notes open, so I'm just waiting until somebody pauses and then I'll hello.
That works.
That works.
As long as your internet's good, it works fine.
If it doesn't
wouldn't
work,
have or even told, couldn't yeah, tell right. That's what you're doing. Yep.
You probably wouldn't even noticed.
No, that was honestly, that was the best one we've done in a while. And I got the number right because I changed it before I did the intro.
What a concept.
Right?
Why would you do that?
Because I've screwed it up every time. So, yeah, speaking of what we do, shall we do what we did in Guns? Shall we? All right. Yeah, what we did in Guns this week is still currently not sponsored. If you'd like to sponsor one of our segments, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And yeah, let's start with Adriel. What did you do in Guns this week?
Oh, I did a private PAL course on the Saturday, and that went really well, really nice. On Monday, so it's been cold out here. It's still cold out here, and I'm getting out shooting because I got a bunch of guns and a bunch of stuff to review, so I'm doing it anyways. So I went out to my parents' place. I had to drop my mom off anyway, so I went out there. It was minus 36 with wind chill.
Oh,
it was cold. It was really cold. I still did some shooting. I brought out the Sterling R9. Yeah, ran well. Henry Homesteader, it also ran well. And then the Kiappa caliber conversion kit, that one that fits those 12 gauges. Yeah. And it worked really well as well. So this is the first time shooting that Kiappa caliber conversion kit. I'm just not sure what the use case is. I don't think it's for me because the 9mm out of it's not hearing safe. It's not like... You know, like a combo gun, like a 12 gauge and a 22, that I've got some appeal to that. I'll use the 22 unless they're on the wing, then I'll shoot them with a 12 gauge. Great. And then this one, like, you got the 12 gauge, you got 9mm, you can run through it. A bunch of other pistol calibers, 357, 40, 45 ACP for whatever reason. And then 410 and 20 gauge. I would never want to fire 410 or 20 gauge out of a 12 gauge because 12 gauge is cheaper. And yeah, so I just don't really see a need there. And like, there's not a lot of difference in the recoil, so who cares? The 9mm, I guess you could, but I'd rather have a 22. I'd rather have a 22 LR as my second round. So I don't think I would use it, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of like
here is a use case for you. I know it's going to be very rare, but you're in a, some kind of a, either post-apocalyptic or third world country. And you have this single shot 12 gauge, but you don't know what kind of ammo you're going to loot off the street. So you have all the inserts. So in case you basically, you're going to fire whatever you get in a safe and accurate ish manner. And that's how you're going to sustain yourself with hunting. Guess.
Like I was actually kind of surprised with the 9mm. I was shooting about 50 meters and I was only that far off of my aim point, which like for a bead down a shotgun, it was like, I think it was all right.
No, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Put a red on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the survival situation. I think that's like this Kiappa conversion kit comes with one of their survivor shotguns that has like, it's like made for that kind of thing. So yeah, I guess so. I don't do that though. I don't prep. I don't, Fallout New Vegas. Yeah. When you're like, you're looting and you're like, you do the Fallout Vegas thing where it's like, ooh, you found two 12 gauges and a 9mm. Now you gotta like, you know, use that stuff, use that crap. Right. On my way back, my thermostat froze on my vehicle, so I had to like whatever.
Oops.
Oh no.
Cold. Like I told you, it was cold. I got a bunch more videos out. So carbon fiber tripods, that Diana R22. One thing, so I published that video on the Diana R22, and one person's like, "Hey, that carbon fiber, that's not even a sleeve, it's just a tube." And I'm like, "Really?" And he's like, "Yeah, just unscrew the tip of it, and I just give it a solid pull." Oh, come on. There we go.
Oh.
It's just a tube. It's not tensioning or anything on the barrel. It's just a normal ish barrel.
Just decorative.
This to look cool.
Dressed up.
So it's
that like, explains a little bit on that. Yeah.
It's yeah. like putting yeah. a carbon fiber body kit on your car. It's not actually like making any weight reduction. You're adding weight to it.
Not a lot of weight.
Not a lot of weight.
So,
yeah.
So maybe it's doing something because it is tensioned back here and it is like putting tension at the front of the barrel. Maybe it's stiffening it. Maybe. Not as much as like a carbon fiber wrapped barrel for sure. Yeah. But maybe it's tension. It's doing something. I think that's charitable. But it gives me one more thing to try at the range because I'm going to shoot it with the sleeve and without and see if it affects the accuracy.
Makes a difference.
Right?
You got to make it a long string of fire so heat will play into it.
Sure. Yeah. I was just going to see like accuracy, like 10 rounds of this, 10 rounds of that, and try a different kind of couple of different kinds of calibers and, or not calibers, different manufacturers and see what it does. And then I did a video on, I've got a bunch of SHOT Show shorts out. And then what you should do after getting a gun license in Canada. I send this thank you email to people who finish my PAL courses. And I was like, I want a video that tells them all the things that they should do, like join a range, get eyes and ears, and buy a safe, and all this kind of stuff. So I made the video.
Seed. What?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tip them. I do the maple seed thing.
I
tell them to do that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
You need an update on your hunting video. Please and thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I got to do that one too. Well, I got my second kid is editing, so. My production like quantity is going up.
You're just running a little sweatshop there, an editing sweatshop.
Yeah. They do thumbnails, they do the editing. If I can get them to do my social media and that kind of thing, it'd be better. But
oh my god, I want to put in this Chinese reference about Zhou Baipi, which is like the slum lord that pretends the noisy rooster will make in the morning to wake up all the workers to give up to work.
That's me.
Yep, that's it.
Some parents just give their parents give their kids like an allowance. Mine have to earn it. They have to work. Yeah,
in that industry. So whether it's making ammo, editing gun videos,
But Adriel doesn't trust them. He don't want to be blown up.
Yeah, not for making it. Well, I trust him as like a case feeder.
Yeah,
they can be a case feeder. Okay, I went to Cabela's to buy. I started to pick up. I'd gotten a bunch of this, the Federal Blue Box, a whole bunch of it because I got it for 6.5 cents per round.
Ooh.
I comboed some deals and my gift cards, 6.7 cents per round. So I bought like 8 boxes of that.
And use the link, arrows. Right? You forgot.
I hope.
Oh, no.
Could have comboed it for more, right? Okay, so I got the ammo and I was like browsing around. I always go through their used gun area. I never find anything that's really,
what
really
good.
What did
you find?
I found something.
What
really
did you get?
More power, yes.
I found a rifle there that I think they mispriced.
Oh, cool.
Or they just priced it really low. And I was like,
yeah.
It was like 15 minutes to close. I'm like, sorry, you have to open up the cabinet and let me look at that.
What was it?
It was a Browning A-Bolt.
Oh.
In 300 Win Mag.
And combien?
Spicy.
No, I put the scope on.
No, but how much?
You try to speak French to me. $5.99.
$5.99. That's a
good deal.
That's a good deal.
I think the person pricing it priced it as a used AB3. Because that's around the price you'd expect for a used Browning AB3 is $5.99. Like factory, these should be like, I went on Gunpost. They're selling for right around $1,000 bucks. $1,000 to $1,100 bucks for a used one.
You're right.
599 was
this still made in the US or that's already Japanese? Yeah. BC Maruku.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice and smooth. And it's got that low bolt throw, so you got lots of room around the scope. And it came with some nice loopholed 30mm rings. And I was like, which 30mm scope should I put on there? And asked on Discord and that kind of thing. But then I realized, wait a minute, I have a big bad $1,200 scope I can just put on there. Why don't I just do that? So
nice.
Because you say you don't want exposed turrets.
Yeah, I know. But I have this one already. And it's got really nice glass.
It's called, cheap.
Yeah. So I'm going to run this and maybe I'll use this for hunting season. I think I'm going to use this for hunting
season.
It's
nice.
We're going to hear him from a mile away.
Yeah.
Bang.
And the deer will too.
Like, ouch. That's fine.
That hurt. Yeah.
Just a little loaded. I know. Okay. So Adriel, again, how much did you pay for it?
$5.99. Well, $5.99, but then I used my gift card and my gift card was 10% off because I bought it on Father's Day. So
Jesus.
Oh, wow.
So if Kelly is listening, Kelly usually buys some of her rifles from you. I remember how much you paid for it. I'll talk to
Kelly. She's not getting that one. She's not getting that one. I got a 6.5 over here she can have. Although I might just keep my 6.5 for, like, because I've got two boys that hunt now. And I have had it where it's like, do I take them both out? I only really have, like, I had my 6.5 and my 243, and which one do I give them? Which one do I take for myself? And now I've just got three. So
you also have a 300 blackout.
Yes. And an M1 Garand.
SKSs.
I wouldn't hunt. I've tried hunting with the SKSs and it's possible it works, but they're really not ideal.
No.
And I don't like hunting with like really, really non-ideal guns where I know that I might get a long shot. Short range, who cares?
You
long
still range, haven't hunted with your muzzle loader yet.
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, I have hunted with it. I hate it because you go shooting, you go in the morning, you don't shoot anything, whatever. You go in the evening, you don't shoot anything.
Now you got to pop it.
How? It's dark. You're not supposed to fire. You can't take that shot because it's dark. Now what do you do? Well, you got to put a screw down there and screw it into the lead ball and pull it out. Nah. Just or wait till the next day.
Last minute, just fire it.
I guess, but I don't really like to do that. I don't like to shoot just for no reason. Anyways, so and I guess I got my 12 gauges too, because I've slug hunted before
Okay.
They work on deer. Yeah. The deer.
Gotta be really close though. What was the distance?
Oh, you gotta be within like 75. Without like if you're gonna run a sabo, like you go longer, but for just like a regular Foster slug, I wouldn't go any more than 75. The accuracy's not very good. Okay. Well, enough about that. I made some 6.5 Swede, reloaded, about 50 rounds. I think 50 rounds of that stuff. Yeah. 50 rounds of that stuff. I tried using up some of the powder that I have sitting around, I made some target loads and I made some hunting loads. I need to buy some more rifle powder and everything's so damn expensive.
Expensive.
Right now.
I don't know.
Hodgson Benchmark.
Benchmark. I wonder if I can run that stuff. Yeah. I have some stuff. I have a whole bunch of Rotombo, which is super expensive right now.
That's for 300 Win Mag. You can do that, right?
Just with the heavy stuff. I don't really want to run the heavy stuff. I was thinking about it. Like if I was to run, like if I was to load for a 300 Win Mag, and I'm not going to, because me and my buddies used to all have 300 Win Mags. And so they have a bunch of reloaded ammo that they've been sitting on. So they're just giving it to me. So I'm going to have a pile of ammo but if I was making it from new, I would go copper and I'd go like a 150 grain and I just send it like stinking fast. So you need a bit of a faster powder. You don't want slower with that.
Yeah.
And I posted on Instagram, like some of the weird, cartridges that one of my buddies gave me. 300 Win Mag with copper lathe turned copper bullets from, South Africa and they're moly coated. Yeah. Weird stuff. This weekend I've got our pal that makes three, weekends this month where I'm teaching our pal and our pal.
Get certified to do that. Cause I know I could make a killing out here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good time.
Cool. Kelly, what about you? What'd you do in guns?
I've been on recently, so last week. So what did I do? I didn't get to the range because we were snowed in on Sunday, and that was when I was supposed to be going to the range. I did take a trip up to Ottawa. I met up with one of our shoot bosses for Project Maple Seed. We had a chat, but I also borrowed one of his guns too because I wanted to use the Maple Ridge Armory's Renegade and try it out and take it to the range and teach some people how to shoot. So he let me borrow it. And so I'm making a play date with the other Kelly, and we're going to go to the range probably next week. We're both off, so we're going to go to the range Monday and shoot, shoot, shoot. It's supposed to be 2 degrees, lovely as well. So I'm super excited about that. What else did I do? Not much. Just continuing to have some meetings with our friends from She Shoots. There's exciting things that are going to be happening there. There is going to be an International Women's Day in event in Calgary. There's going to be one in Vancouver, and I'm in talks right now with York University as well here in Ontario. So watch out for that. I'll post those as well. The other thing is I am going to be going to the Toronto Sportsman Show. So when I was asking Ryan if he was going to be there, I was hoping to see him. So I'm going to be there on Saturday and Sunday. We go over to the CCFR booth. I might be there. I should be there, but I will probably also be at a couple of our other friends like Canuck going over there and sit over there with Phil O'Dell. And I'll be there for Saturday and Sunday. What else? Oh, I did want to make an announcement. I didn't put it in the announcements, whatever. But the 10th, the AGM for the CCFR. So it's the 10th anniversary of it. Can we say that? 10th anniversary of 10 year. It feels like forever. Maybe it's because the government has actually made it feel like forever as well. But the CCFR has been around for 10 years. It's essentially we're going to be having our AGM in Niagara Falls. Awesomeness. But we're also going to, it's about family because we are one big happy family. And it's about like coming home. So want to put an invite out there to everybody. I have it on my social media, but you can go to the CCFR website and go to the AGM. It's going to be a great time. I'll be there. I do not have to run for re-election this year. The other Kelly does. So if you're in Ontario and you're a CCFR member, vote for Kelly Kincaid. I'm already starting her campaign. Speaking of campaigns,
are you even challenged in the district at all?
What?
Is there in challengers like at all?
No, when they actually see who's running, they
they know better.
Have we done a poll recently about the Ontario directors? I don't know. I think the Kelly and Kelly is just kind of written in stone right now. Like, you can't break it.
Well, you could. Don't recommend it. So I did put it in the news section, but I do want to talk about it. Today I got notification. Anytime there's an election coming up, because of the fact that I'm a public servant.
Oh, yeah, you.
There is notifications that are sent out. I just want to make an announcement currently right now that I have no political affiliation or opinions on political parties. I hate everyone. So, but I will
really? Support. That's a requirement?
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah. When you work for the federal government, you're not allowed to have an opinion about any political.
But you can still vote.
Yeah, we're allowed to vote.
It's just you have
it's
to.
Canada allows charter rights and freedoms.
Apparently, we can vote in China too.
What?
Yeah, I'm apparently a registered voter back in the day. I don't even know how that worked.
Were you born in China?
Yeah.
You could vote in North Korea too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% from Kim Il.
So what you're saying is after this week, everybody has to just deal with my political views and no Kelly piping up?
That is correct. I do have opinions, but I'm not allowed to express them.
Right.
But I'm just going to say vote and vote often.
Agreed.
And vote for those that make sense.
Will I have to hold my tongue on episodes that you're on?
Absolutely not.
All right,
just
great.
Your opinion. It's not mine.
Excellent.
I need the sheet for like the citizenship. It says, "Well, it's your duty and obligation and freedom to vote." So, like, do that as a Canadian citizen. Important. Okay, public announcement done.
Okay. All right.
So I just wanted to make that announcement watch for it because it's happening and it's happening soon. We get a heads up basically saying you're not allowed to have any political affiliation. So
it's coming. We're like a month away.
Yeah. I just posted it and somebody said maybe I think March 10th is when they're looking.
Yeah, they're gonna gun for that quick. Is that all for you?
Yeah, I think that's everything. We have some exciting stuff happening for this CCFR Gunny Girls. We are going to, it looks like, have signings at Toronto Sportsman Show. So come out with your calendar that you've already bought, or you can buy them at the CCFR booth. So come on out, get them signed. I know, that's awesome. Right there.
Okay, Kyle, what about you? What'd you do in guns this week?
So we had our match on Saturday. And the wind did not like us because, of course, being Carlsbad, it got windy. So we actually had a good number of people come, help set up and everything. But then basically we had to rebuild every stage once we got to it. So yeah, that kind of sucked. And then, yeah, with the open gun, I decided to shoot open and that ended up looking like it was thrown in a mud pit because with all the oil and then dust just being blown everywhere. So it needs a good cleaning. But overall, actually not bad. I'm happy with my performance. I'm shooting too slow because my groupings are looking too good. So, shot another B classifier, so I am well on track to just being a B shooter across the board with every pistol platform. But I did have some mental errors. Like I had some rough time with keeping stage plans. Like I ended up planning like a reload and did the reload at completely wrong spot and didn't follow my stage plan at all. Had some trigger freeze. And yeah, just it was rough, but I still walked away second place overall for the day, so not too bad, and really can't complain. It was a good practice. Gage actually, sorry,
I said congrats. That's a good score.
Oh, thanks. And yeah, Gage ended up designing a stage for it when we were having our meeting on Thursday night. He had drawn something on paper, and then showed me afterwards. We came home. I'm like, okay, well, explain it to me. And he grabbed the 3D printed stage kit, set it up on my desk, and I'm looking at it like, dang, that looks pretty cool. That looks fun. So I practiced him up and fine-tuned it, and I decided I'd actually show you guys here. And yeah. You unloaded gun on the table, mags on the table, and your start right here at the X's. And he also wanted a stipulation. I might have led him that or asked him the question, but all the reloads had to come from the table.
So
you couldn't just throw them into your mag pouch and go. So it ended up being really interesting. And I'd show video, but for some reason, my gun didn't want to shoot. My dot was on the steel, and steel was not falling. So, so what I ended up doing was coming to this port, loading on my way up, take out these two steel and the star, and come back to this port, shoot these two, do a reload, because even though the open gun, I only have 140 mil mags for it. Don't ask me why. That's what I got. So I got lots of 140 mil mags now. And then I took out these two steel, stepped into this corner here, took out those, and then ran around. And of course, I'm setting it up so I make sure you have to be right there or bury right up front and then have to bury right here for the angled guy.
All the revolver shooters hate you.
We don't have revolver shooters, so.
Well, do you have classic shooters? Single stack?
The guy who sold me the open shoots single stack every now and then.
Oh, God. Oh, that'll be a lot of reloads. All the Canadians too. Jeez. You have to go back to the desk to reload?
You could still do it. It would mess it up a little bit, but even single stack, that plan would
It depends on issue major or not.
Yeah, but no, luckily we didn't have any single stack there, and otherwise that might have gotten changed. My rifle ammo came in, so I got a couple hundred rounds. You can actually see it right there.
Ooh.
And also, I don't know if I'm... Yeah, I did mention Unrivaled Break came in, so I will be getting that on soon. But this is the Unrivaled Break. And
that's cool.
Got tuning ports here, all and none on the bottom. Is you not going to need to tune anything on the bottom?
No.
So it's a very similar theory to the brake that or comp. I call this more of a compensator than whatever that my dad and I designed. But like I think I mentioned last week, like we shot some AKs with the 7.62 version. Actually, I think we even shot some 223 AKs that had these on, because one company there, they just put these on everything and it was incredible. So looking forward to getting that on there and trying that out. I did pick up my shotgun and started doing some dry fire. So Monday night I did some and decided to start at a 3-second quad. Was able to get that. Felt like I had lots of time afterwards. So just knocked it down to 2.5. And that was the first night. Like I did about 10 minutes the first night because, I'll get into it. But my hand was starting to get sore. Just, I got to get build up calluses and build up my form again.
Yep.
But I was able to get, my good ones that night were I'm guessing about 2.3 seconds. And then tonight before the show, picked it up and did about 15, 20 minutes of it and was able to do consistently 2.5 seconds shoulder to shoulder. And even getting it where I was actually fumbling a little bit, but I was still being able to get up on the dot within that 2.5 seconds. So it's encouraging that it's coming back. I'm going to probably just keep it at the 2.5. Like it's encouraging, but a little bit discouraging too, because 2.5 seconds used to be, okay, that's my warm up.
Right.
Not, but it's been a while since I trained outside of, trained quad loading. I've always just wrestled. I do decent. Like I'm still a decent quad loader on the stage and that, but I want to get that faster because I got to work on efficiency is a big one this year. Even if I wasn't going to be making a run for Shotgun Worlds for Team US, the reloads, like we're talking to throw four shells in a gun, I'm talking 2.5 seconds. That's a lot of time on a stage. So if you can, any time you can cut out of that, and that's in a controlled setting. Out on a stage, that 2.5 seconds probably easily turns into 3 seconds.
Yeah.
So if I can get back to a sub 2-second quad load in very dedicated, I figure that should equate to about 2.5 on, I should be able to do 2.5 out on the stage. So that'll be a significant savings on that. So
it's also satisfying when you can get 4 rounds in a gun real quick and get back up. Like that's a thing. That's a skill that everybody has. And it does feel good when you can do it real fast.
Oh yeah. It's just smooth and you come up and, okay, yeah, that was a good one.
I'm the only guy that does any quad loads, because it's just our shotgun stages are not a thing folks focus on here, because we're all kind of playing the same guns. But
well, as a match director in that and putting on matches, especially right now, it kind of sucks because I want to throw the reloads out there because that's a whole part of it. But on the same token, you don't want to discourage people because, well, they haven't spent the money on the gear or whatever. And so it's like, when we do our multi-guns, which is very few and far between, but I think we'll probably try and throw a sprinkle in a few more here, it's like, okay, I'll put out like 8 targets or something. Like, I want to get going more, but we'll see how that goes. So yeah, did a couple nights of dry fire. I got a care package from Hammer Armament. So the rifle pouches that I had gotten previously that I thought were mine to test out were Craig's, but he was talking and he was sending me out some PCC mag pouches. Oh. And so there's the my big stick.
Nice.
With the 30 round extension. So that's my 60 round PCC. But it fits in that, like, I'll be able to put that on the belt, no problem, and no worries of that falling out.
Love that.
Yeah, for the listeners, that the pouch have a lot more engagement distance compared to like your standard Glock pistol pouches for your 17 round style magazines. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So this is a 30 round, 31 round Glock mag with the 30 round extension. So yeah, a just standard pistol mag pouch. While I did use it in a pinch, I'd never not with this mag. But even with a 30 round, they're a little short. Like, I don't really want to angle them so that they crappy straight up and down. But yeah, and then he threw in a couple of the new style rifle mag pouches in my pattern that is not exclusive, but it's cool. You can actually order it through him. So if you're in the States or have US address, because I know he doesn't play around with shipping to Canada right now.
I wouldn't.
So he calls it Red Reptile. For the pattern that we came up with. So, but yeah, so the new the wrong smooth.
Name. The right name is called the Red Lunatic. That's the correct name.
If I had a choice in it, absolutely. I happened to see him post on Instagram, like, oh, a new color. I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, of course he's going to sell it after.
Oh, no, absolutely. I'm like, can I at least name it? But no, I can't play Red Reptile. It's a cool name. I would have definitely gone with like Lunatic or something like that, but it's still cool. It's got the flare on there. I know I showed it before. It's flared out and it's nice and smooth. So you get much better retention, but also easier to pull out and load in there, because you're not relying on these top lips as your retention. Because the old style, which I could probably grab one, but it would pinch at the top of the pouch and then it would balloon out from there. But these new ones, it's the exact opposite. So yeah, it's much easier to put a mag in. You got solid, you don't have to tighten it down as much because you got more surface area touching the mag.
Nice.
So yeah, they're really slick. I like them. And yeah, so I decided to take down the curtain today. I'm still continuing, but I got to do some lighting, and I'm going to cover that because later in the year, sunlight will come in. So directly behind me, that will end up being like a quasi gun wall. Put some pegboard up there and some lighting in there.
Cool.
And whatnot. And then the cameras and everything will get set up. So right now I'm still down to one camera, but that's because I still have to build all that out. Yeah. Other than that, that is it for me. I think, Tony, you're the one that's left.
Did Dustin say anything?
You go.
Host goes last usually. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Sorry,
sure. Did some reloading. You'll see on Discord that I'm starting to shave copper jackets off bullets now, which is not something I've been concerned about or seen previously. I did do a combination trim chamfer on my cases, but that's mostly 223, 5x6 stuff. And I guess from that perspective, Cam Pro jackets seems to be pretty resilient against scrapings. I don't know how much the scrapage is, and I didn't try to pull all the bullets out, but if my next grouping is terrible, I guess I know the reason why. It's a little frustrating because I didn't know copper jacket is that fragile. It didn't even seem that bad. But basically, because of my workflow, I size and trim first, and then I stainless steel tumble. But to get the cases very clean, you will basically have the cases acting upon each other in the tumbler when spinning. So you will lose some of the chamfering properties on your case mouth, and that has been confirmed by more professional reloaders, let's say. So I asked Lee a question because this is what I used to use a lot. This is the deluxe trim head that they have.
Yeah.
They have a little blade here to chamfer your head, but they have a spring on top to push all the three blades down. If you're seeing the video, you will see. So I asked, can I just put my power trim on their more basic trim head that doesn't have the chamfer blades? I'll just worry about the chamfer later. And they say yes, that's okay. Although, nowadays the value trim head is actually no longer available. I believe they're just simplifying their production or pushing their more deluxe version, but you can just push all the blades out with the spring, and after that, you're having the same idea. So that's that. There's some 3D printing, as always. All the files I've designed or modified or used or whatever will be available on Discord. So I modified this Lee primer tray holder. It had six spots, and it had the spots in the back for the hand primer. I don't have a hand primer. I use either the Progressive or have a bench prime that goes on the bench, not in a tray. But here you can hold all your priming trays very nicely. I have the different small, large rifle, small pistol, small, large pistol. So for all your priming tray needs. Other than that, not a lot of shooting happening this week. I am planning to go to the range this weekend. There's actually two matches going on. I'm only going to one because I'm leaving for the West Coast next week. So you may or may not see me on the show next week. We'll see about that if we can make that happen.
Okay, so which match are you going to be shooting this weekend?
I'll be shooting, it will be in upcoming events, but I'll be shooting the Steel Challenge match on Saturday, and there will be a IPSC-style shotgun match on a Sunday.
Okay, but you're not going to be doing the
shotgun match.
So what are you going to be shooting? What are you shooting for the Steel Challenge? What are you
Borrowing a rimfire pistol from a friend, so...
Do you know which one?
Smith & Wesson Victory 22. You have one. Okay.
Right? I have one. Yeah. Super that's accurate. Super easy to shoot. He'll kick it.
That's the first gun I had a detonation with.
No.
So yeah, I think I told that story on Sunfire.
Yeah,
maybe.
You did.
Yeah. So that was with Aguila ammo too. So that was.
Hey, you know what? Don't blame me. I should
blame myself.
And I have this Western Victory. It wasn't me. It was the operator in that case.
Yeah, it was the operator. I just I pulled the trigger the wrong way and it went back. What about Dustin?
All right. So thankfully, Kelly, don't worry. I didn't do too much gun stuff. I did. It won't take long. I can see you. I can see you. Just like, all right, moving along. No, I'm. Anyway, so I definitely did some window shopping for some gun stuff while I was doing some research / reach out for the show. Obviously, because we're gonna talk to Ryan this week, and we've got S&J on next week, and there's some really cool, exciting things. Out of the long conversation I had with Sean from S&J, I ended up getting my first ?perk from hosting the show. I'm getting a gift, something that I will hopefully have for
did
next.
Did he tell you what it is?
Whoa.
What it is?
Oh.
Yeah, you have to wait to see. It's spectacular. I made just an offhand comment about it because it was entertaining. And he's like, oh, you like that? All right, give me your address. You gotta bring it to the show, though. So hopefully I see that for the show next week, because that'll be entertaining. Helped a buddy pick out a shotgun. It was lots of that. And then, it's been really cold. It snowed a couple weeks ago, and it's been a little chilly, but finally the rains came on the weekend, and I went and took my 22 out and just did a little plinking just for me.
Nice.
Yeah, nothing crazy. I just needed to shoot something, so I shot something. And that's literally all I've done with guns this week. It's quick and dirty.
There you go. Yeah. Thanks for being short so we can move it along.
We can move it along to upcoming events. So we've got, I'm going to assume this is accurate. For upcoming events, there's the Slamfire Canadian Series.
Happening today and next week.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. Remember we were talking about that and we had no idea what it was all about. And then Tony has something about it. And then we're going, I don't know what you're talking about, Tony, at all.
I'm just like, we're having Canadian manufacturers on.
Right. That's
right. Yeah, okay.
Maybe
well, that is
just,
happening.
Maybe it's just me going, I have no freaking idea what you guys are talking about. But
gotta have a catchy tagline, man.
Adriel, you want to, or Kelly, you want to speak to Maple Seeds going on in the next 30 days?
There's We're none. They'll be actually be set up and they'll be on the website. Right, Adriel?
At some point, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
When the kids get around to it.
Kelly calendar signing.
So there is going to be a signing at the Toronto Sportsman Show. Go to that.
Wonderful. Hunting Gear Guy, firearmstraining.ca.
Yeah, just go there. I got a course coming up this weekend.
another course, great. BTSA...
As I mentioned, there's a four-stage steel challenge half day coming on the 22nd. That will be a Saturday. And then IPSC-style shotgun at the BTSA under the Action Shooting League ASL banner on the 23rd. And that will be the first shotgun match for like a while. I think the last one was like for the Nationals. So, yeah, should be fun.
Cool. Chaz, three-gun schedule has apparently been posted. And we've got the CCFR AGM. It's going to be in Niagara Falls, and it is the 10-year reunion, or not reunion, but 10-year anniversary of the birth of our beloved CCFR. So everybody should go. I might actually go. We'll see.
Are you going to come?
I'm going to try.
Awesome. You want a room with me?
Ooh, yeah. You want to share a room?
What?
You want to share a room?
Sure.
I don't snore.
Oh, I do.
it's okay. Everybody else in this house does. All right. And moving on to news. So I put some of these here. The Trudeau government is in talks with police forces to launch its weapons buyback program from gun owners before the potential spring election. It's not going to happen. They're trying real hard. And the evaluation that they put towards it, like $750 million, is an actual joke. So I don't think it's something to stress about. I think it's actually something that he's a little stressed about, because Carney actually hasn't landed one side or the other on that. And I think it's a hard one now that the government has also had to finally acknowledge that 90% of the traceable guns used in gun crime have come to the States. It's a miracle that all of a sudden, after a decade, they've learned that statistic. Anyway, I put a couple other ones in here. London man facing charges after child struck with bullet. Here's a huge shocker. He had a gun prohibition, and he got charged with three counts of possession of a prohibited firearm, unsafe storage, investigations ongoing. So somebody that shouldn't have had a gun, had a gun. What else is new? And something bad happened.
Yeah.
So sad story for our friends in Sweden. There was a mass shooting there. It's caused their right-wing government to preemptively ban the AR-15 without confirmation that gun was used, but looks like they're going to be going after some of the semi-autos in that country, as is usually the case when a tragedy happens. But just a lesson for everybody, right-wing, left-wing, just whoever's in power doesn't really seem to matter.
Sounds kind of like deja vu.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why win government, though?
Yeah. Well, so it's the gun ownership there is like, this is smaller. Like, I think I saw the numbers, it's like 3,500 AR-15s like in possession there. So it's not like a huge segment of the population. Anyway.
Huge population in Sweden.
It's too cool. Yeah. Apparently, ostriches are getting a stay of execution. I think I read about this, but I didn't post it.
So I posted it recently, in 5 minutes ago. So did you guys all get a CSSA notification about these ostriches in BC? Yeah. So there was a call out a couple of days ago from the CSSA, specific to the government of BC had put a call out specifically for 400 ostriches. There was supposed to be a call because of the avian flu. Just today, they posted that the CBC has posted that these ostriches got a stay of execution, that the protests have worked and the ostriches will continue to live. It's not a farming. So the ostrich population, so it's 400 ostriches, by the way. That's a lot of ostriches on one property. But yeah. There was some avian flu that was detected in a couple of ostriches. The ostriches were not for production, for consumption at all. It's a testing or a scientific testing facility specifically that so they were going to go, the thought process was, and it was advocated that these ostriches would actually have a antibodies that would build within the the population, and that people were not in danger anyways. But the government had put out to hunters, etc. The same thing that was going to be that happened with the deer pup. Remember the deer on which island was that in BC?
Well, that was people from out of country being hired to do.
We wish they had done that.
No, but that's what I mean, right? This is the same sort of thing that the government was hoping to do, was get people come in and shoot all of these ostriches. And they were going to be able to do it. And even the hunting community said, no, we're not going to do this. This is ridiculous. So, but they announced today that the ostriches will have a stay of execution, that they're not going to be called.
Well, lucky for the ostriches. That said, if anybody from the British Columbia government is listening, I will happily go through 400 ostriches for you. There will be a bill involved, but...
Sorry.
Why a bill involved? Just all the meat.
Well, I mean...
There's no meat. You're not going to eat the meat.
It's avian flu birds.
You're not allowed to eat the meat.
Not allowed to eat it.
What?
Ammo ain't
free. It's cooking real good.
And I know what they're willing to spend to slaughter deer. So like whatever 10% of what you were going to pay for the deer slaughter, the deer call, I'll take
and helicopters with AR-15.
I will require one helicopter and one AR-15 for an afternoon.
Suppressor and quarter.
Oh yeah. 100%. Yeah. The whole meal. All right. New gun stuff. Our sponsor is still vacant. And again, please contact us at slamfireradio@gmail.com if you are interested in sponsoring new gun stuff segment on Slamfire. Vortex red shotgun red dot enclosed with multi-reticle. All the potentials. This is actually cool. I'm interested in this.
Yeah, so they launched this Viper shotgun enclosed micro dot. It's not, to me, it's not only interesting as it replaces your rail. It just mounts directly onto your receiver with your usually four screws, fasteners. But it's kind of, I see it as a new page in Vortex Red Dot technology. With the Defender series, they have finally adopted the shake awake and the very fast auto power off. Used to be like 12 hours or something. And now they also have added the multi-reticle, which is kind of nice, and the very in vogue at the moment, fully enclosed red dot. So it doesn't really matter for Alberta because we don't have a lot of turkeys for you to hunt, but from the home of Vortex in the Midwest, it is very big of a sport. And I believe a lot of hunters have picked up shotguns with red dot nowadays.
Yeah, I'd throw that on my A300 any day. Cool. PSA shot pulls are coming out. Two SMG carbines. Yes, 4 and 5. Hey, I was right.
Right. I don't have this up. They don't have a web version.
Yeah, but you can find them
on YouTube videos. Their number 3 is out today as well, which will be the semi-auto 570 shotgun. So their pump.
They're weird.
Same receiver, but It's pump and semi-auto, but not at the same time, like a...
Well, no, you got to build the...
Like
build
a it SPOS, yeah. But you get the idea. It's a interesting design.
We've got positive feedback on the Department of Energy's SMG.
Yep, so this is the Forgotten Weapon video. He made a video explaining what the Cole 633 is. The Department of Energy, basically the... nuclear escort kind of crazy thing. Yeah, tiny little gun.
Yeah, it's just like a little 9mm kitty cat, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I believe they have some clone correct elements like the hand guard, what the head stop and hand guard, the folding front sights and stuff. And then a gigantic gas deflector, which I'm not against because direct blowback kind of suck.
It's pretty cute. I'd buy that. All right. Was Rare in Canada, Lehman Presses, Lehman Victory?
So used to be that we see a lot of Lehman American 8 turret presses. Well, I have a whole set of Lee stuff nowadays, but back in the day, I was looking at the Lehman single stage options as well. They have the bigger Victory or the smaller Ideal, both available in kit form nowadays. From Cabela's, and they're on sale for today because of Wednesday.
Ooh, and we've got a Burris Eliminator.
I don't know what you want to eliminate, but I guess. Oh, God. Did they already sell out of it? It was a good sell.
Like she out of stock, at least in Calgary.
Something at long range. That's what you want
to eliminate. Yeah, well, you might be able to hunt with it. I don't know. You have a 2,000 yard laser range finder. Apparently, it can calculate your dope. I think it can connect to your phone.
No, it puts a dot. It puts a dot in the scope for where.
Oh yeah, where I thought that was the thing. Yeah, it gives you the perfect aiming solution.
Mm-hmm.
So, in field, it might be really handy.
And if anybody is going to order it from Cabela's, please use our Slamfire link. Unlike Adriel, couldn't be bothered.
Stop. Good job, Adriel.
failed. All right, that is it for new gun stuff, and let's move on to the main topic. We'd like to welcome our guest, Ryan Stacey from International Barrels.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
Dude, so I'm super, super excited to talk to you about the Deuce 2.0. You guys gave us a little teaser, gave Adriel a little teaser at SHOT, and I've been a little obsessed over it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping you're cool to talk about it.
Yeah, of course. I've got a couple samples here for you to peruse and digitally drool on.
Oh, even better. Yeah. Even better. All right. Well, so you guys are coming out with the Deuce 2.0. What can you tell us about it?
So the original Deuce was... a pretty sweet little full-size Remington 700 sized 22 action, sort of in the realm of the Voodoo and the Rimex. But the way it was designed, it had some unnecessarily small and complicated parts and features to it that, when tuned properly, were fantastic, but they took some tweaking to get to make it perfect. So when we looked at it, we thought, well, you know, why don't we re-engineer this a bit so it's a little simpler and hopefully it'll function a little bit better. And at the same time, we can take out some of the little quirks that were slightly annoying to me on my original Deuce action. So that's basically what we've done. We've re-engineered most of it and we're spinning it all in-house now, which is also fantastic. Previously it wasn't, so you were under other people's timelines and whatnot. And always trying to play catch up with, you know, getting stuff shipped and made at the right times and other people's timelines.
I can imagine that's quite a bit of a pain in the butt when you're trying to build a rifle based on just a dozen different things coming from places. Bringing it all in house, like, has that given you some headaches, or overall is that was definitely the good decision?
I think it was a good decision, but I mean, you know, when you spend $750,000 on a 8-axis CNC machine, you need to spin some actions for sure to get it to the point where you're actually making money on it.
Yeah.
But now that we can do it all in house and everything's designed, then things are rolling off And we're also, we're making the HMBs, and we'll eventually be making the deadlines in-house as well.
That's fantastic news. So you guys are, you're working towards an all in-house kind of plan, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We want to keep it all in-house as much as we can. There are a couple of little pieces that need to be made on a Swiss machine, which is not something that we have. So we still farm those out, but those are very, very small pieces, that
something that
other people can make with different machines in a better manner than we can.
Right. And something like when it's one piece, that's something that you can just like order a bunch of, and it's not like mission critical that you're waiting for like the five that you could bring in. Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it. We're going to order of small pieces, bits and pieces, you know, probably 300 at a time, or maybe even more, so that we have lots in stock and we don't have to order. And then as we're paying attention to our stock of bits and pieces, once we start getting down to a level where we think, hey, you know, we only got 100 of these left, we should probably order another, then that's what we'll do. We'll just keep the flow going.
That's cool.
I'm just going to shut my door. My dog just came in.
Go for it. All good.
There. It's raining like crazy here, and it's loud.
I can hear it outside here, too. All right. So next question.
Yeah.
Would you recommend the Deuce 2, or rather the Deuce 2.0, to someone looking to get into Rimfire PRS?
You? Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah. That's the one.
I mean, well, there's lots of different good actions out there, starting from, you know, factory actions like CZs are still probably the most popular thing out there.
Right.
Tikas, you see a few Savages, some Rugers out there. Then you see the Rimex and the Voodoo, and hopefully with us, you'll see the Deuce 2.0 on a more regular basis than you have in the past.
Yeah,
right. For sure. So you kind of got to figure out what you want to do as far as the game goes, and I guess what your budget is, right. Because the full-size 700-sized actions aren't as cheap as, say, a CZ or something along those lines. But there are some definite advantages, that's for sure.
If you wouldn't mind, like, what are some of those advantages?
Well, the main advantage is that it's basically the same size as your centerfire gun. So for guys that shoot a lot of centerfire PRS, having a rimfire trainer that's super close to what they shoot centerfire allows them to train easier without expending as much centerfire ammunition, which is a lot more expensive. Right. Although these days, I mean, rimfire ammo is not exactly cheap these days either. So, you know, whoever said that rimfire is cheaper to shoot was only partially correct, I guess.
Kelly.
Kelly knows, I'm sure.
No, so that's actually like the whole point. I was really interested in it. Like this idea of having a rimfire cartridge in like a full size 700 action is like big for me. Like I grew up on the 700. We always had one in the house, right? That was the bolt gun I learned to shoot with. That was the bolt gun that we took deer with. That was like really comfortable on that sort of action. Yeah. So like that was kind of one of the things I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So with that comes my next question. Will folks be able to purchase just the action from you guys or a completed rifle? Like what's going to be the availability?
Well, definitely actions only for those of us that want to get our own barrels spun on.
Right.
But we'll be doing barreled actions as well. And at some point we may end up with full guns as well. I mean, I've already built a few for people that have organized the chassis part of it all. So, like, if they want to get it and get me to put it together, I'm more than happy to do that and just send you basically a complete gun that you screw the barreled action into. And you know, I can take a look at the magazines and make sure everything fits, because the chassis has a lot to do with how they feed or how they don't feed.
Right.
So that's a huge thing. But yeah, we're gonna have actions only, which is at the moment kind of an interesting thing because Voodoo has decided not to sell action only. They will sell barreled actions only now, apparently, according to the guys at SHOT Show. Which I sort of get it, but at the same time, I also had like the head armor for the U.S. National Rimfire PRS team in my booth asking if I'm going to sell actions only. Because, I mean, the guy's a gunsmith. He wants to spin up his own barrels. He doesn't want to use the barrel that Voodoo necessarily thinks is what people want, right? Like, everybody has their own preferences, and you'd be kind of stupid not to sell just actions only to folks that are gunsmiths and armors and stuff like that, that want to, you know, spin up their own chambers and profiles and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll do actions only, and we'll do barreled actions also.
That's really great. So yeah. I don't know, that gives folks a little bit of a, like, different options. So, like, I know, because you guys do prefit barrels for the Deuce, like, yep. Is there something in your catalog that someone like me should be looking at, like, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I guess you got to kind of quantify what it's for, right? So we're talking about Rimfire PRS here. So that's kind of the big thing. So obviously, you're going to want a relatively heavy barrel. I mean, there's no recoil in a 22, obviously, but the more weight you have in the gun, basically the better it's going to sit on these wobbly barricades and on your bags, and it's going to settle in. I'm not sure what happened there. My phone rang, and then that was it. I was tossed out. So
No worries. So we it's all good. We were talking about what kind of barrel you think would work for me for doing PRs. Right.
Yeah. So as I was saying, having some weight in the rifle itself, either in the barrel and or in the chassis, to keep you sort of more stable on these wobbly props and weird things that we shoot off of, is somewhat advantageous. So guys like to go with as heavy a barrel as they can. Some of them do it through the thickness of the barrel, and some of them do it through length and change the balance point of the rifle as well. So most of the Deuce barrels we spin up are just a slightly over 1 inch straight, and they range anywhere from 22 inches to 26 inches in length.
Right.
And they are basically a straight profile without a whole lot of taper to it. So the barrel is quite heavy. It's a bit of a truck axle from one end to the other.
Well, that sounds like that's kind of what I'd be looking for. Personally, like, I always have a tendency to like a little bit of a shorter barrel, like a 22-inch barrel sounds like it would work for me. I don't know. Be prepared for me to be bugging you with more questions in the future.
Sure. Yeah. So the trend right now is to go 22s kind of at the bottom end of it. So you're seeing a lot more 24s and even some 26s. 22 and 24 seem to be pretty much the most popular right now, with the 24 maybe taking over a little bit. I think what you see is your standard deviations and your extreme spreads come down a little bit as you get out to 26.
Right.
But you lose a little bit of velocity once you start to get that far. But a lot of guys don't really care. They just want the balance of the gun to be the same as their center fire gun. And if they can use the barrel to get that to happen, then they got less weight in the chassis and less stuff hanging off your chassis and, you know, all that, good to go.
Cool. Oops. That wasn't what I wanted to do, but, so shifting gears for that. Thank you. That was what I wanted. Shifting gears for a second, you mentioned you guys have made some changes with the 2.0. Obviously the Deuce is a thing that already exists. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you guys changed?
Yeah, sure. So, the first thing that we changed to spin it in-house, we took the recoil lug off. There was a very small integrated recoil lug on the Deuce original. And we're already making the HMB, which is a center fire action, in-house with a pinned recoil lug. So we thought, well, I mean, a 22 action doesn't even need a recoil lug, really, to be honest with you. So why don't we just do it with a pinned lug? It'll make it easier for us to machine it. And we can put that cost savings, because you can start with a smaller sized piece of steel in order to get the same result. We'll put that cost savings into, you know, testing all the other stuff and making it nicer than the previous one. So the first thing is it has a pinned recoil lug. It's the same recoil lug as the HMB, which is, I think it's AR-400. So it's pretty hard stuff. Yeah. Again, you don't need it on a 22, but it's good to have it there, I guess. So we did that. We changed some of the angles in some areas, like where the bolt goes in here.
Yeah.
And the way the bolt cams over, we changed some of the angles to make it a little bit smoother. Mm-hmm. The original Deuce had a bit of a clunk. You'd run the bolt forward and it go down, and then it would sort of go down a little bit more.
Yep.
And that drove me bananas. And I wanted to get rid of that. I wanted it to be really smooth on the way down. So we changed the angles in there a little bit. As far as anything else goes on the actual action, other than the, you know, the design on it is a little bit different than the original and some of the engraving and whatnot. Other than that, that's about the only thing that's different for the action body. But really, the bolt is where the main difference is. So I don't know if you can see it there or whether to focus on it, but that is an original Deuce bolt, and it has these teeny little extractors on the top,
right,
which actually go onto the bolt face and then slide out, and then a pin comes up and pins them in place. And so they slide back and forth, which is kind of a cool idea, but they're teeny. They're like less than half a centimeter long. So everything has to be perfect, and we can't make that in-house
either.
And so you got little springs and little pins and all kinds of little fiddly bits that are somewhat problematic. Now, again, these have to be tuned relatively well in order to get them to grab the case of the rim and feed properly. So we thought, well, let's tune that up a bit, and we decided to switch to that. Which are big honking Walther style extractors, which are pinned inside the action or inside the bolt body with a pin, and it just snaps in there and it's held in there.
Nice.
Dude, those are beefy.
Yeah, they're huge. And so also we opened up the bolt face a little bit because I realized, hey, you know, if you got a bolt face that's really tight to the size of the outside of the case rim, if there's any misalignment there, you're going to get a bit of a sticking point. So our guy decided to open up the bolt face a little bit so it has a little bit of room to move around. So if it sort of misfeeds as it's coming up out of the magazine into the feed lips here, or into the extractor lips, and you're starting to run it forward, there's a bit of room for it to move around so that it can realign itself and push its way into the chamber. Whereas before, you would end up with the nose in the chamber and the back end of the case sort of jammed against your bolt face, and then you got a stoppage and you got to clear the gun, and it's a pain in the butt. So what I've found so far on this one is that I haven't had any of that kind of stoppages at all with a slightly bigger bolt face to arrange itself. And the firing pin hole is still in the same spot at the bottom, which is where it should be on a 22, because if you think about it, all the powder is laying on the bottom of the case because everything is parallel to the ground.
Right.
It's not to say that you can't get it to shoot well when it's at the top or anywhere else for that matter, but it just makes more sense to have it at the bottom so that your primer compound ignites the powder, which is basically touching the primer. So we went there. So that's a huge change. This one, the caulking ring here, with some help from my good buddy John Gingrich originally, decided to change the angles a little bit on the caulking ring to make it a little smoother. So those, in conjunction with the change on the angles of the action body itself, make for a really smooth, buttery close, even better, nice. even better than the original by quite a bit.
I can't wait to try it. I'm super excited.
Everybody whose hands out here I put it into are like, holy smokes, wow. So I'm like, I'm glad you guys think so, because I think so, but I'm kind of biased. But, you know, when you put it into other shooters' hands, you know, good high-level shooters that are shooting a Voodoo or a Rimex or whatever else, and they're like, wow, okay, that's pretty nice. So that's good. What else we got here? Oh, yeah, okay. So on the – that's basically the part of the bolt. The other thing, too, previously was the Deuce 1.0 – firing pin was three pieces.
Ooh.
And they decided to make it so that you could change the protrusion of the firing pin.
Oh, that's,
so that's
interesting.
Interesting. That's kind of the question that nobody asked. People just want the thing to go bang every time. Yeah. I think I know why they did it. And that's because of the rim thickness on cases You might need to get a bit more protrusion to get it to go, but that's not really the case. Like,
right.
I haven't found that I needed that at all. So anyways, this three-piece firing pin worked okay, but it really had to be tuned up and adjusted properly to make sure that it functioned properly and also so that you didn't actually ding up
your hole,
your chamber. Case. Well, there's that too. Too much protrusion, you could definitely poke a hole in the case, although I haven't seen that, but it's possible. Yeah. But also, if you dry fire it and you hit the chamber face with the firing pin, you're going to leave a dinger on your chamber face. And since the deuce runs off of a cone breech so that we can adjust headspace, you've got a fairly sharp edge there. And as soon as you ding up the chamber face, it's all over. You can't get another round in there. So we did a couple things. Questions?
No. Okay. That makes sense. Like this is a smart change. I can already tell.
Yeah. So we just went to this. So now we have a one piece firing pin. It's much heavier. Just one sec here.
Big old stainless.
Yep. Yeah, you betcha. Heat treated tip. It's nice and hard. So previously on the 1.0, you had this shoulder here, which is basically what contained the weight going forward to ignite the case. But now on the 2.0, we got this.
Oh, that's so beefy.
So you can see there's quite a bit of difference there. So I got this big chunk of metal right here.
Yep.
Plus, that would have been there. So we have quite a bit more spring compression on the bottom one because we're taking up an extra centimeter of spring space. So springs had to be tuned a little bit more exactly with the old style. But with this one, we can use basically all the springs that we have, and there's no issues with it because they're compressed quite a bit. So it seems like that's a huge factor.
Sorry. Yeah. You know, it seems like, you know, the principle of going simpler, a little bit beefier, something that's going to be reliable and hopefully not a part we're going to have to worry about replacing. And, you know, is the idea.
Yeah. 100%. Like trying to simplify things and make them a little bit better. I mean, that's the way to make stuff better, really. The complicated stuff, okay, I kind of get what you're doing. Maybe in the beginning you were trying to do something that nobody else had done. I get it, and it's cool to be different. But at the same time, it needs to be functional, and it needs to be reasonably easy to fix if there's an issue. And for people that like to tinker, you know, this was great, but a lot of people just want it to be a CZ. They want to throw it into the chassis, go to the range, and shoot it without a lot of goofing around. And so with the new firing pin and the new bolt, that's basically how it's going to go. But with the old one, you had to fine-tune all the little bits, and the protrusion had to be adjustable and everything. The other thing with this big fat guy is that you can dry fire the heck out of it, and you never run the risk of dinging up your chamber because it's stopped. So the bolt stops, the firing pin stops on that face and this face here inside the bolt body. So while it has threads on this end, it is slightly protrusion adjustable, maybe one turn it's worth. And neither of those turns can make it so you can ding up your chamber face or cause any problems on your case.
I love that.
So that's a pretty big bonus, I guess.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else do we got here? Yeah, I mean, that's in reality, that's probably about all there is on the new deuce. The only other things we're going to change are the bolt shroud is going to have some angular, it's going to look nicer than this one. This one, everybody hates this one, me included. but it was easy to make, so, you know, we tried. But an angular one is going to come back, and it's going to match the actual the body of the deuce. And so those will be changed and all made in house as well. The entire action is nitrided, which is good. It makes it nice and slick as well. And yeah, that's about it. Well, some of the actions are nitrided. I happen to have this one, which is tumbled stainless with a black bolt and a black rail on top.
Shiny.
That is pretty.
So that might be an option. This one is one of our testing prototypes. I have two here with me. that are going to be getting shot this week. I got two dudes out here that are going to help me pound on these things and see if we can cause any malfunctions or anything like that, so that by the time we get to the end of March, we know exactly what's going on and we can fix anything before anything crops up with the customer, especially if they're in Europe somewhere. It's a pain in the butt to send parts and whatever over there. So we want to pound on them a bit to make sure that they're functional and that nothing weird crops up. And at the end of March, we should be selling them.
You're actually doing QC before you put a gun out there in
Wild, isn't it?
That's bananas. Right?
Yeah. 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 And we're not doing a pre-sale either, because name one pre-sale that ever went right in the firearms industry in Canada. I'm like,
yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll do a pre-sale when I have like 100 action bodies there and all they need is to be nitrided. Maybe I'll pre-sale then.
Yeah.
But like, until stuff is sitting in front of me, no. Not happening. I don't want any of that kind of shenanigans. I got enough that I got to deal with. So
I love that. I'm going to put Hoodus back here for a second. I just want to say, I absolutely love that. So we're doing a whole showcasing Canadian firearms companies. And I really, really respect that a lot, because that is not the norm here. And you know, it feels like it's not even the norm in the industry anymore, just actually caring about that QC. And I don't know, I'm already very excited.
That's good. Well, I mean, you know, I have pretty high standards. I have high tolerances too to certain things.
Not the government though.
No, definitely not that guy. That's about as low as you can get.
Yeah.
But I have pretty exacting standards, and I want the Deuce to be the premier action on the market. And that's the direction we're heading, and it's going to end up there if I have anything to say about it. And we're literally like probably 90% of the way there. Need a little bit of testing. Need a couple of cosmetic tune-ups on these prototypes. There's already a couple things that I need to tune up a little bit. They did it already on this one, but. The original design, this bottom shelf here that was in the ejection port, was actually sloped from the inside to the outside, sloping up. Well, guess what happens when you slow stroke the bolt?
It rolls back in.
Brass flies.
Yeah. Jumps out, yeah. And it rolls in. Like, who designed that? Like, I just don't understand why you would do that. So anyways, we changed the angle down, and now I've had a couple of slow stroke ones on purpose, and I can definitely get my finger in there to sweep it out, or it just rolls right out depending on what's going on. So it's much better in that department. But there's a couple other cosmetic things that I think we need to just touch up to make it the premier 22 rimfire action on the market.
You got me excited about being an early adopter of a platform.
Good.
So awesome. Yeah. Okay. So I still have a few more questions.
Yeah.
My understanding is that the bolts are going to be interchangeable, so that folks, if they've got a Gen 1, can still use new bolts.
Yeah, correct. They should all be backwards compatible to a Gen 1. So if you're tired of the fiddly bits and adjusting everything, or you're having issues with extraction and the little extractors from the previous ones, the new big honking extractors are going to be available on the new bolt, and they'll be backwards compatible. I have no idea what the price will be yet. I mean, the bolts are, I mean, there's a fair bit of machining and whatnot in there. So while I don't think it will be crazy expensive, I don't think it's going to be super cheap either. Mm. But that's really kind of not what we're trying to do anyways.
No.
As far as pricing goes, I think we're going to be around the $2,000 mark for the action only. If you look at a Rimex, they're like sort of in the $1,800 mark, and Vooters are in the $2,200-$2,300 only action only zone when you could get them, which apparently you can't now, or you won't be able to soon. So I think we kind of fit into a niche right there where you know, we're not the cheapest, but we're definitely not the most expensive either. But we will be the best. That's for sure.
Well, and if you're planning on being the best, you're not aiming to be the cheapest. I don't want the cheapest gun. I want the best gun. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would much rather be a little bit more and have people feel it and go, oh, wow, this is worth every penny that I spent on this thing, instead of, yeah, you know, I spent $2,400 on the action and it's okay. You know, it's kind of rough and doesn't feel great. It runs, but that's not what I want. I want this action to be the premier action on the market and ship them everywhere around the world.
I am certainly trying to do my part. So we kind of talked about it. This is based on a 700 action platform, so that'll fit in the 700 footprint of most chassis.
Yep, that's right. I mean, I don't have access to every single chassis in the world. So,
of course.
I mean, there are some. This kind of goes back to all the feed issues that people have. If you're serious about the PRS style shooting and you want to make sure that any action feeds, put it in a good chassis.
Yep.
Like, don't put it in a Magpul and expect the thing to feed right off the get-go. Nothing wrong with the Magpul, but like, it's not a high-end chassis.
Yeah.
So as an example, when I went to Italy in 2023 to shoot at the first Worlds there, I was running the original Deuce in a Manners PRS stock. It's a great stock. I love it. I love the way it feels and everything. But the bottom metal on that thing was designed for center fire, and it was so loose that it was crazy the amount of tape and weird stuff I had to do to the magazines to get them to actually feed.
Right.
And so it cost me a lot of points. And when I came back, I said, you know what, I'm going to get an ACC Elite and I'm going to put it in there. And literally that day, all those problems disappeared. Like, I didn't have to do, I pulled off all the tape, everything fed properly right off the get-go. And the ACC, and since then I've got a Premier Gen 2 as well, which also has no issues, and that's a pretty sweet little rimfire chassis as well for a little bit less money. But yeah, put it in a good chassis. So if you're trying to make it work in a cheaper chassis, that's cool, but just be aware that you're going to have to fidget with it probably, and that goes for any action really.
Yeah,
those feed angles and stuff are going to be a little bit more challenging.
You basically helped me roll right into my next question. Almost like, do you have my list somewhere? So are there any chassis you personally like or would recommend? So like, if we're building a gun for me, I've got my eye on one. That MDT chassis is pretty. And if I'm going to spend all of the money, let's just spend all of the money once. But, you know, if you're building the gun for me, I'm an interesting guy.
Yeah.
You know, what would you recommend?
Well, personally, I'm a fan of the ACCs. They're great chassis that you can do a lot with. They're also flat on the bottom, which was something I didn't have with the Manners. And I didn't really realize how much that one rolled around when I was on a wobbly prop or the bag wasn't super stable.
Right.
And then as soon as I went to an ACC, I could put some weight in the bottom of the chassis and I can put some weights on the outside and make the chassis wider. It's like, oh, okay, well, I should have done that like before the last World Championships. So I would try that. I'm sure there's lots of other chassis out there, like Matrix, the Matrix Pro, MPA. Matrix Pro, I think, is a really nice chassis. You know, MDT is down the road from us, 10 minutes, so that's basically what I deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I need anything, I can just call the guys up and, hey, do you got any of this? They're like, yep, no problem, and
yeah.
No, I have it within 10 minutes. You know, it'd be cool to explore some of the MPA chassis and stuff like that, but I don't know. I got ACCs and they run great and they make the action feed properly and I can put everything on there that I want to put on there and they're great. No issues. See,
I'm taking advice from the best. So like I'm just making notes here. So it's
who, me? I'm not the best. I'm
All right. Well, in comparison to me, I'm going to take advice from folks that are much more experienced in this world. So
more experienced, maybe. Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
All right. Lost my place on my question list here.
Sorry, I didn't check the list again.
That's okay.
I have questions.
Yeah,
so a couple things. So you said March, end of March, you're probably going to do the release. Okay.
Yeah.
Will you be at TSS or IBI is going to be at TSS or no?
The
Toronto Sportsman Show. No, Toronto Sportsman Show.
Not that I know of. I mean, we were at SHOT Show and I'm going to Germany on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It's possible. I mean, I don't even really know about any of the shows that are out there. But yeah, I mean, if people want to see it, we could definitely make a trip out.
Okay. Do you know the approximate cost it's going to be?
So I think it's going to be $19.99, action only. And then the barrels, I mean, it all depends on what you want, but barrels are usually around the sort of the $8.50 kind of mark, somewhere in there.
Okay. So it does make sense, you know, as I said. So the Deuce. So I've shot the first gen. All of the things that you're talking about are going to be exciting, just because of the fact that it is a little clunky with the action and loading too. So this is exciting. And Dustin, yeah, just go to MDT and get the chassis. It just makes sense. Why invest in a really reliable, good action and barrel and put it in Tapco stock or something?
And also, it looks so sexy together. Like just the promo stuff that you guys have on the site. Like, oh, I love a good All right, here we go. I just want that. Like, it's even the right color. I'm sold. That's perfect. It's doing all kinds of things to me here right now. That's exactly the gun I want. I want that color. I want that stock. I want that everything. That's perfect. I'll take it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. Every time I get out there and I'm goofing around with it, and before every match, I DSF my gun. So that's a drop scale factor. So I just check the dope at every distance out there. And one of them is about 300 yards. And it astounds me that I can land a 22 shell at 300 yards within a couple of inches of what I'm aiming at, like time after time after time with the right ammo. Like, you know, like who would have figured that we would be shooting 22s anywhere past 50, even 10 years ago? If you told me I'd shoot a 22 at 400 or 500 meters, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Who does that?
How are you doing on the regular?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so not 500, but 300 for sure.
So what's the anticipated, you know, are we, I don't know. Like, you're shooting what ammo? What are you typically getting with good ammo?
Well, I mean,
good gripping.
We're also a barrel company, so we make a few different types of barrels.
Yeah.
We make a couple of different twist rates. So we make the two most popular right now are 16 twist, which is kind of the standard, the gold standard for 22s. It has been for God knows how long. But we also make a 14 twist and a 12 twist. The 12 twist in North America isn't really super popular. We do see some guys shooting the ELR stuff way out there using the 12 twist. But once you start speeding up the rotational velocity, you're also adding spin drift, and there can be aerodynamic jump and a bunch of other things kind of happen a little bit faster with the faster twist rate. Now, I think it might have been with you guys. I can't remember. Maybe it was with Rick. I had some targets that we had tested at 300 yards with the 12 twist against Factory Bergera, I think, which was a 16 twist, and there was quite a bit less vertical on average with the 12 twist, which is good. But once you get into the wind and you get wind from certain directions, aerodynamic jump can happen and take place, and it can actually push your rounds right out of the group. So, okay, that's a bit of a disadvantage, because, you know, 22, it doesn't take much wind to blow you off. So we decided to play with a 14 twist. It's kind of a funny story, because a couple of the more higher level shooters out here called me up and said, hey, we want to try a 14 twist. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, fine. Like, okay, is it really going to make that much difference? And they're like, we want to try it with six. So they're very specific. We want to try it with six grooves. And we want those grooves to be 5R profile. So 5R profile is trapezoidal grooves. And I'm like, I don't think anybody's ever run that in a 22. So we called up the folks that make the buttons that we pull through the barrels to put the lands and grooves in. And the guy just kind of went silent on the phone. And he's like, no. And I'm like, what do you mean no? He goes, that's a dumb idea. Nobody's done that. And okay, well, here's the thing. The guys that want to do this are paying for the tooling. They're paying for the button. So let's give it a try. And if it, you know, if it craps the bed, then it was an interesting experiment. So, okay, yeah, whatever. Your money. So he sends it out and we start playing with it. And lo and behold, very interesting. It shoots quite well. Not only that, but I found that the velocity was a little bit higher in the 14 twist with those trapezoidal lands and grooves than it was in the same size in the 16. Like if you look at Ely Match and you see what the box velocity is on there, it was like literally probably 40 to 50 feet per second faster than what it says on the box, even at like a 24-inch length, which is impairing your velocity a little bit at the very end of the length, 26 definitely a little bit. So I was like, wow, this is really interesting. So basically, we had an experiment that went right. And so that's basically what our 14 twist is. And the benefit to the 14 twist, and some people will dispute it, but what I feel is that you're sort of getting the same sort of vertical that you're getting out of the 12 with less of the spin drift and the aerodynamic jump. I mean, there's still spin drift for sure, but it's if you look at a Kestrel, it's a fair bit less than what it was on the 12 at the same length. So, and the 12, for some reason, just didn't shoot super, super tight at 50. So I was like, okay. Well, I mean, it all goes through one hole, but like I've had groups of Ely that are out of the 14 twists that are like a 5 or 10 shot group that are like slightly bigger than one hole. But the 12, you know, it would be, you know, it'd be a half inch or it would be 3/4 of an inch. It would still just be one ragged hole. But, you know, bench rest guys, they don't want a one ragged hole. They want it to all go through one hole. So when the 14 came around, I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this to a bench rest match and I'm going to shoot it against the bench rest guys because they're obviously the guys that know everything about, you know, 50 meter and 100 meter and even 200 meter accuracy out of a 22. So I took it there and out of 600 the first time I showed up, I think I shot a 598 and I ended up winning by 1 or 2 points. Oh. And at this point, the 14 twist was an experimental barrel. And everybody wanted to know what it was, but I'm like, I can't really tell you because I don't want to release it. So there were some angry dudes that I just sort of walked in and got a 598 and wouldn't tell them what I shot it with. So, everybody knows now. It was the 14 twist. It's 5R rifling in there. It's 6 lands and grooves. Our 16 twist is 8. But they are 90-degree lands and grooves, like a kind of a standard rifling profile. So right now it's the 16 and the 14 that are the most popular. And it's kind of a toss-up between the two. Some people swear by the 14. I like the 14. And I've got good buddies that shoot at a real high level that only want to shoot a 16. So
it's fair.
Whether it makes that much difference or not, I don't know. For me, I feel like I shoot better with a 14, so whether it's reality or not, as long as my brain thinks I'm shooting better with the 14, then, you know.
You'll shoot better at 14.
I am.
With the 14.
Yeah, exactly.
You will.
Exactly.
Making notes. 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So that, because we're talking about barrels, and you guys are international barrels. How is the barrel life on a prefit barrel? Like, I buy a Deuce, 24-inch, 14... twist, what can I, is it possible for me to shoot this barrel out, or is this something I can pass down to the grandkids? Or grandkids?
I mean, your grandkids' grandkids will probably have that barrel. Like,
perfect.
I don't think you can wear it out. Maybe you can eventually. I mean, the original 14 twist test barrel had 36,000 rounds on it. And I'd never pulled the bore. So I'd only ever cleaned the chamber. So it was really dirty on the inside, but it shot like a house on fire. It seems like the bore needs to be fouled, providing there's no, you know, Klingons floating around in there that are going to get in the way of things. Right. But the chamber needs to be clean. So the chamber gets cleaned for me about every 300 rounds. But the bore, the only thing that ever goes down the bore are dry patches.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so to answer your question, I think maybe there might be a point where you wear it out, but I mean, you might have to be at 150,000 rounds before you're, you know.
Yeah. I'm not super stressed at that round count at all, but that also, like, you know, for anybody who's interested in it, like when you start, like, it's one thing to look at a price tag to build a rifle like this, but when you amortize that over forever, that's a different price tag, right?
It's definitely way different than centerfire because, you know, on your average centerfire gun, everybody wants to shoot the 6 mils. And so the, you know, the 6GT and all that stuff, those are super accurate cartridges. But like, if you get like 26 to 2,800 rounds out of it, you're doing pretty good. And at that point it's toast and you're changing barrels. So with these rimfire barrels, they're not super expensive, but, you know, they're going to last you probably 100,000 rounds at least anyways, if not forever. Like, who knows?
Yeah. No, and that's kind of what I figured, but I wanted to throw that out there too. I mean, you know, we kind of would expect that from you guys. And just two more questions. What sort of ammo is okay, not okay? Sounds like, you know, as long as you're running something decent, just cleaning the chamber is most what you need, eh?
Yeah, I mean, you can run basically anything you want through it. But, you know, if you're shooting Freedom Bucket, you're probably going to get Freedom Bucket results. So
Thunderbolt is what you need, right?
Thunderbolt, right? Yeah. You know, honestly, I would probably, and I think Thunderbolt is it copper washed? I think it's copper washed.
No, it's just the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Never mind. So I would probably just avoid shooting copper washed ammo and just stick to lead only.
Right.
And then at that point, you know, I've shot Federal Auto Match. I've played with Blazer. I do all the fouling usually with Blazer or with CCI. So when I get a new barrel, I basically take a brick or two of Blazer and just run it through the gun to get it fouled in. Because we're finding that they need about 1,000 rounds before they really, really settle. They'll shoot quite good right off the. It's a lot, but like you can get 1,000 rounds of Blazer for less than $100.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's not really that big of a deal. Like, don't shoot your Ely or your SK Long Range or whatever to do your fouling unless you want to, or, you know, but there's not really any need at that point. So just foul it with some lead only. It doesn't matter whether it's good stuff or bad stuff. And then, you know, about every 300 rounds during that cycling, then you're going to want to clean the chamber out. And then once you hit 100, you're going to find probably at like 200 or 300, it's really starting to group well. But what you'll find at like 1,000 is that it groups really well, and your standard deviations and your extreme spreads, if you're using really good ammo, are about as low as they go. Like, I've had a string over the Crony that was 90 shots, and I had a single-digit SD, I think it was 8, over 90 shots. And the extreme spread, I think, was 21, if I remember correctly. So over 90 shots, that's a lot.
Okay.
Pay attention to all that stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Cool.
That's just impressive. Sorry, just taking it back for a second. So I actually have one question and a bonus question now.
Realized. Sweet.
Nice. Had an extra one. When are you guys planning on having the 2.0 available for purchase, at least in theory?
Yeah, so in theory, it should be at the end of March. And so far, things are on track for that, which is good. But I mean, you know, if something happens and we run into something during testing and we're like, oh, shit, we didn't foresee that, now we have to address it. So it might set things back a little bit. But so far, the 2.0 that I've been shooting, I've got over 1,000 rounds through it now, and it's been flawless. So I don't foresee anything weird going on, but, you know, those extractor claws are big and they're powerful. So I want to make sure that where it connects to the chamber of the barrel that were not causing some premature wear or anything like that. But I mean, they have enough give that there shouldn't be anything along those lines. But again, we got to do due diligence and just test it and make sure that we're not going to destroy people's barrels with the big extractor clause. So yeah.
That's fantastic. Also, just note for every Canadian firearms company out there, listen to this podcast, please. That is just really impressive. My bonus question, couldn't help but notice it looked like the barrel on that thing was threaded. It just, in Dustin's dream world, where one day we get a better government and maybe some laws change, there's a chance we put a can on that one day?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can thread just about anything. Right now, a lot of guys like to play with a tuner. So that one is threaded for a tuner. Not that I play with a tuner. That's why it has a cap on the end.
Yep.
But I found that the big, thick, straight barrels, the big truck axle barrels, don't seem to react that much with a tuner. But if you have a bit of taper in there, then the tuner comes into play a little bit more if there's a bit more flex in the barrel. And I'll just be honest. I don't have the time to fidget around with a tuner. So,
yeah.
You know, this thing shoots one hole at 50 meters. That's barely bigger than one shot. So what do I need a tuner for? Like, okay. But I guess if rimfire is your world and that's your thing, then you want to play with a tuner or you want to try it and see what your thing is. Yeah, we can thread it for you. And then, you know, later on, if there's cans available, which I hear a little birdie saying that, you know, that's a possibility.
I know. Yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah. We can't know the future, but I can hope. That's all. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so too, because if you look at the reality of suppressors, every country that's probably the most anti-gun countries in the world all allow suppressors except for Canada.
Yep.
Yeah. So it makes no sense here. It's a safety item, and it would probably solve a lot of range problems if everybody was super quiet when they're shooting.
Right?
Yeah. I think there would be a lot fewer people, you know, upset in expanding urban areas if we could have them. So
for sure.
I just, if I'm going to build the dream rifle, I'm going to build the dream rifle, right? So.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy enough to spin threads on the end and put a muzzle protector on there so that if eventually you want to play with it, you got it. And if you don't, then you just leave the Thread Pro on there and, you know, it looks cool.
Yeah, that would be the route I'd want to go. So that's awesome that's an option too.
Yep, you betcha. And we can flute it. You know, we can do all kinds of funky stuff to it. But people seem to want the weight. So fluting is, some people like it, but most people would prefer just to go with a straight unfluted barrel.
I get it for the weight, but the fluting does look oh so good.
It's pretty badass, I have to admit. And my PRS centerfire guns are all fluted. It's cool for sure. But on the rimfire, I don't know. I just left it as is because I need to wait for the balance.
Fair.
Yeah. Yep.
I've got a question or maybe a suggestion. If the conservatives get in, I believe there's going to be a market for non-restricted length funny cartridge AR barrels, because a lot of us have Cope guns out there, which will no longer be useful because we will go to using ARs. So, and the thing is, we'll still need non-restricted length because they're semi-autos.
Yep.
So we're going to need like 18.6 inch, 6.5 Grendel, 450 Bushmaster, 458 SOCOM, and 50 Beowulf barrels. I think you might want to think about it. I know I'd be looking at one of those because you can't get that stuff. They're like in Canada, no one makes that stuff.
Yeah. So I guess what it comes down to is if we have enough interest to justify the cost of the tooling, then we're all over it like a dirty shirt. Mm-hmm. Like I can do Grendel, 6 Grendel. Do I got 6 Grendel? I think I have six and 6.5. I got 6 ARC. I got a bunch of different little cartridges. Back when ARs were legal, I had the odd 458 SOCOM and 50 Beowulf, but like it was like once or twice a year I would get somebody looking for one. But if there's interest, we can do it. Like,
I think there's going to be more interest because there'll be people out there with those WSMCRs or WKs or Ravens or any of these other ones out there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so if that's what people are after, then yeah, definitely just get a hold of us and say, hey, I'm looking for this. We'll sort of take it into account, maybe put you on a list. And then, you know, once we're like, hey, you know, these 458 SOCOMs, we've got like 40 people looking for these barrels. Then at that point, we're like, okay, well, let's do it. And so then we bring in the tooling, and next thing you know, you got a 458.
I'll be one of those guys. Probably a 450 yeah. Bushmaster, unless there's a reason why I should be going for 458. But
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know enough about any of those to say what's good and what's not. They're just kind of noisemakers to me. But they'd be fun to shoot. That's for sure.
I'll order one, but you have to cut it down for me. For like this.
Yeah, actually, yeah. If it was non-restricted,
yeah,
that'd be a banger. Maybe even a bear gun. That'd be pretty badass.
Mm. 450 or 50 Beowulf semi-auto. Yeah.
Right. That'd be good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can definitely be done. That's for sure. Yeah. Cool. Let's hope everything goes non-restricted back to where it was.
Simplified classification system, man. We're putting it out there. Let's get shorter legal guns that we don't have to mess around with so much.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Any other questions, folks? No, crickets. Is there anything else you'd like to share, Ryan? Or
not that I can think of offhand. Just keep us in mind. We're trying to push this thing along as quickly as we can, while still keeping the quality control that I have to have in order for this thing to be a badass 22 action. So, end of March looks good, but you know, if something happens, just bear with me and I'll get it out there as soon as we can. That's part of the reason why we're not doing a pre-sale. But like I want to get people shooting these things, because once you put it in your hands and you run the bolt on it, you'll be like, okay, yeah, this is pretty nice. So we're pushing as hard on this project as we can to get it going, but there's some testing that still needs to be done. And I think we should be pretty close to on track, if not, maybe even a bit before.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing with us. And
no problem.
internationalbarrels.com is where folks get in touch with you guys.
Yeah, you betcha. And we need to drag your butt out to a match, and I'll supply the gun and everything, and you just come and shoot. And then I'll see you at the next 25 matches after that, because there's no way for you to avoid it at that point.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome.
All right. Well, then, thank you so much again for coming on. Appreciate you giving us some of your time and telling us about the Deuce, my new gun.
Yep, excellent. Thanks, folks. I appreciate you having me on to help promote this thing. It's fantastic, and I appreciate
Thanks, Ryan. Bye, Canadian, right?
Yeah, if you can. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
Especially if it's the best on top of it. Like,
right?
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
All right. No. Well, you can. You are welcome to hang out with us if you'd like, but I don't want to take up any of your time.
It's all good.
Awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, I think at this point, we can roll into the rest of the show. Like I said, if you want to hang out with us, you can. Or if you want to drop out. We really enjoyed having you.
It sounds good. I'm going to go finish off my rum and coke and maybe clean the chamber on my deuce.
Awesome.
Thanks, Ryan.
Cool.
Awesome. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Great seeing everybody. You betcha. How do I leave here? Oh, that leave button.
We can kick you out too if you want. Okay, seriously, bye, Canadian. So it's a great company. They work with other great companies here in Canada. They can, like Dustin, Ryan can build you an amazing rifle. So just do it. He's offering to take you out. You can try it out, test it out. Yes, you will get.
Exactly. I'm already sold. Understand. Already. We're already there. Like, already sold. When it's nice, I will go out.
So some of the changes he was talking about, those are exactly what was needed. But also, I love the fact that he's talking to John and everybody else. So shooters that these are people that know what they're talking about, know what they want to, right? He's somebody who goes out and shoot. Obviously, he uses the deuce. He used the deuce in Italy. I was going to ask him if he's going to the Worlds this time, but hey, whatever. And I'm assuming he's going to use the deuce too.
He just sent us a message here. He forgot lefties are in the works too.
Oh, really?
Hey.
So it's an inclusive company too. Look at that.
I want to buy it less now.
But when you're talking about it, I do want to say that the reason that we're doing these shows is because we want to feature Canadian companies. And like even our listeners are saying, you can't really get the Voodoo, just the action right now by itself. It's an American company. And what they're saying is that we're going to have challenges with getting in the American stuff and get by a Canadian.
Oh, Ryan, from a Canadian company. Rejoins Ryan. You just, I'll just add him. Yeah. Ryan, you want to say something about the lefties?
Yeah, I just forgot that, hey, there's going to be lefties available as well. And at some point, there's probably going to be some single shots for the bench rest crowd that want to shoot, you know, one shot at a time. But what our designer did was, oh, that's the wrong bolt. Hang on a sec here. Nothing like leaving and then coming back. And
no, that's okay. And one more thing.
Yeah.
So wait, there's more.
On the bolt, we have the slot that the bolt catch goes in.
Yeah.
And so smartly, Laszlo designed it so that there is a slot on the left side. Or on the other side for the bolt catch on a lefty.
On the left, yeah.
So the reality is, all we got to do is spin up an action body in left, switch the extractors around from the sharp one and the dull one on the opposite sides, and then the cocking ring will just be reversed, and the bolt will be on the other side. And then you got a lefty. So for those of you that are weirdos, we'll have your actions too.
You just made it for Brian. Just admit you made it for Brian.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Brian. Yeah, well, he's stuck on a 1022 right now. So
Yeah.
That's okay. I'll make one for him. All right. I will leave you guys again, and I promise not to come back this time.
No worries. Don't come back again.
Awesome. Thanks, okay, guys. Catch you later.
Bye, Ryan.
Again. Thank you, Ryan.
Bye-bye.
That was a wonderful main topic. Big shout out to Ryan for being on and being awesome. I cannot wait to be in possession of one of those rifles. I think everybody can agree with me. We all need that in our lives.
I really was supposed to ask him about, one for all the hosts, wasn't I? I forgot about that.
Yeah, you were supposed to. You really dropped the ball. Like, you raced home from the gym in like the 8 feet of snow so that you could do that. And then you forgot.
I wasn't drunk. That was the problem.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Darn. Well, you know, you could drunk text him now. It's only seven here. So like,
and he was going, he got off the show and he's going to drink some rum and Coke.
Yeah. It's the perfect time. We know he's at least going to be a little socially lubricated. So it'd be a good time for you to send him a message.
Yeah, it's perfect. Hey, Ryan, I was just, you know, I was sitting there listening to him and I'm going, God, that's sexy. You know, all that talk about, you know, tolerances and speak dirty to me, Ryan.
And we always keep it classy here on Slamfire. With that, we move on to our listener feedback. Our live interactions have been pretty awesome. Some good folk, but I think most of those have been kind of read through as we've gone. Do we have any emails, Tony?
We do not, but we do have YouTube comments. First one from E, Legal Canadian, on 592. 17 HMR in a bulk pack, gross. Crying face. I don't know. Are they, how do you say, primed better than 22s? As long as they go bang, I don't have a problem with it.
No.
Party me on 588, if Runko were to rewrite Defiarm Act. Hey guys, thanks for posting on YouTube. Video improves the podcast a ton. Personally, as a listener, I think so. We do a lot of show and tell. I am a particular fan of that. Maybe I'm biased in that way, but yeah. And we have the three last comments all on 592 from Eddie, of course. Kelly, Coquitlam isn't known for gang shooting. Well, at least it wasn't. Yep. You're thinking about Surrey. Happy
Surrey,
face.
Yeah, but also.
Note the emoji to help with context when communicating with text. Fair. Eddie, you're not giving me a vote of confidence. I'll be staying like half of my week in Surrey next week anyway.
Oh, they cleaned it all up. It's all safe now.
Well, I'll be in a very industrial area, so I think I'll be okay. I'd be
not the industrial one. Oh my God.
Well, I don't sleep there, so it's okay. IBI on the next episode will be interesting. Yes. I'd like to request Delasque as another Canadian manufacturer to come to your podcast. They have innovative and interesting products too.
Yeah.
And last one from Eddie. I'm also concerned about the rise in liberal polling. I hope it's just the honeymoon phase after flushing the
turd. What was that
you
just said?
The liberal polling?
L-I-E-bral.
I gotcha.
Okay.
My phone autocorrects.
It was a play on words.
Yeah, yes. And it's not the first time he've done it. And Dustin has officially recognized it too. Looks like Mark Carney will be the next liberal leader. We need to know about trusting his policies and promises from the Simpsons episode about the Carney Code.
He's not far off. Carney's going to be terrible and has definitely lied about things. So
I'm not allowed to have an opinion about anything.
I know you're not. But I'm allowed to have all of the opinions, apparently.
Is it just the election period, or is the 3 years okay, but the 1 year is not?
I'm not supposed to have any opinions whatsoever.
Okay, no opinion. Got it. That is all the YouTube comments we got.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And do we have any Facebook comments, reviews, Messenger, Instagram, Discord? Negative?
No.
Negative. No. Bueller. No. All right. Sponsor link. I guess we're not touching base on that because it's mentioning October 1st to November. So
later.
All right, we'll get there. we don't have any of Adriel's stuff to talk about, unfortunately. So, you know, then in that case, moving on, thanks to our supporters on Patreon and Player. If you'd like to support us on Player on Patreon,
you can find us on those platforms.
I guess. I'm reading the teleprompter and the teleprompter stopped, okay? So
it's just a cliff. You just dropped down the cliff.
Yeah, it's fine as long as it's on the teleprompter. If you would like to email the show, send them to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And does anybody have any shout-outs? I know I would love to yet again shout out Ryan for being awesome and coming on the show. And yeah, what anybody else?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Greg Weiss for allowing me to borrow his Maple Ridge Armory Renegade. And I also, yeah, that's about it, I guess.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I got to shout out everybody who came out to our match and helped set up and tear down. So multiple times because we had to rebuild every stage before we started shooting it. And also shout out Gage on his awesome stage design. I am definitely going to start picking up from Adriel and have him do more of my stage designing.
The next generation of stage designers here. The next generation of match directors here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is good to see you guys finding a use for children. I haven't seen a good use case yet, so it's good to see some positive parts of having children.
The classic manual dishwasher.
All right. Any other shout-outs or Tony?
I have a recommendation for Forgotten Weapons. Everyone knows about Forgotten Weapons, and I believe we had him on the show before.
Yeah, we have.
But he recently visited the Falklands. If you're in Argentina, maybe you're not you're not interested in the Hobbit, but I found it fascinating.
There's great. If you're in
Argentina.
If you are interested in the Falkland Islands, there's a great documentary on it. So there's also a show called Tumble Down. There's a book too. Oh. It's pretty interesting. Go and watch it.
Cool. Add it to the list.
Anyways.
Yeah. All right. So with that, Join our Discord server, watch us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Player. Join the CCFR, and we will see you next week.
Hola.
Good night, later, everybody.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.